The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. The open line's on today through to 1-call-66-1368. Text or WhatsApp 166-177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Whatever's on your mind, let the Isle of Man know all about it on Man in Line today. I've got to say thanks to everybody at the prison yesterday. We were live from Isle of Man Prison. It's over 20 years since I did a broadcast from the prison. Last time was when it was Victoria Road. I have to tell you, the new prison smells a lot better than the old one. But then again, they did slop out at Victoria Road. But thanks to the governor and the deputy governor, Leroy Bonnick and Martin Phillips, for their help yesterday in facilitating all that. And all the people who work there talking about, and particularly on the rehabilitation side of that. We talked about it many times on Man in Line about getting people who are in prison, and particularly obviously the Manx people, not the ones who'll be shipped off when they come out, but the Manx people back into something like a normal life. It was interesting to hear what John had to say, the man in charge of the workshop where they teach skills. That lots of the people had never ever learnt skills. Never really knew. And Tim, who was in charge of getting people into work and finding them jobs and also placing prisoners out, something that we've talked about quite a lot. But bearing in mind the confidentialities involved, there are quite a lot of prisoners who do work in the community. And remember, Tim was saying there are a few prisoners, not lots, but there are some prisoners who are illiterate in their adult life. Now, it may be that because of upbringing, parents, guardians, whatever it is, they never felt the need or got to be literate. But it comes to something when you've got adults who are illiterate, doesn't it? Anyway, any thoughts on that? By all means, do get in touch. And thanks for the questions that were filtered through to us yesterday. On Wednesday, we were at Castle Russian High School. Interesting bunch of people. And, of course, they broke up yesterday. So they were very keen, very keen to have that time on the radio. And thanks again to everybody at Castle Russian High School for facilitating that. No new school there, though. We've been doing this for about 6 years in this incarnation. And every year they say, we're going to be having a new school soon. Still the same old school. I mean, it's a great school. Castle Russian High School is great. It's just that the building's falling to pieces. Anyway, Julian's on with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Good, good. A couple of interesting newsworthy articles to do both with Ørsted's Morvanin proposed wind facility off Mackled and also Cairvy at Eyre Stain. And I think these two are linked with a slideshow that was shown at the recent Energy and Sustainability Centre's meeting recently in Laxey. This slideshow is available to download from the Energy and Sustainability Centre's website, which is energysustainabilitycentre.im, and it's on their news page. Manx Radio News reports that, according to the MUA, further technical work is required, which will hold up the planning application for Cairvy. I've a feeling I know what their problems are, and no wonder, but I'll come back to that in a minute if that's okay. Also, two representatives from Ørsted were interviewed by Paul Moulton yesterday on Isle of Man TV on YouTube. Jamie Baldwin, who is Morvanin's project director, and Benj Sykes, who is Ørsted's UK country manager. There's a few interesting comments that were made. For example, Paul asked them about the share price. Benj Sykes said that they're in a good financial position. However, as of 5 minutes ago, Ørsted's share price is almost 90% down on its peak back in 2020. It's 36% below its initial offer price way back in 2016. So you've got to ask the question, how's that working out for them? Also, Jamie Baldwin admitted that the revised height of the wind turbines, they've dropped them slightly from 350 to 330 metres, which is still 1,082 feet tall. That is exactly the same height as the Eiffel Tower, except that there'll be 87 of them, of course. They also mentioned the Morgan Wind Project just across the way from us towards the UK. It was mentioned as a reason to go ahead with Morvanin, as it would be close to our territorial boundary and so would be visible anyway. But what was failed to be mentioned in the interview is that the Morgan Wind Project has been cancelled. And that's because the much higher subsidy offer in the allocation round 7 was still not enough to make the project financially viable. It's also interesting to note that not only did ENBW, who are the guys that were trying to do Morgan, they've had to fork out £1 billion in impairment fees to get out of the project. But it was also paying the Crown Estate £168 million a year for its seabed agreement for lease, which is three times as much as Ørsted's £57 million. For here, and it's the same size. Morgan was around 1.4 gigawatts, which is the same as Morvanin. But they've been paying the Crown three times more than what Ørsted are offering us. Right. So,
what was your thing about the infrastructure? What did you want to say about infrastructure?
Yeah, this is to do also with what David Quirk has been saying. He's got this paper out which is saying that the island would have 120 megawatts of wind energy, probably 20 from Erie Stain and up to 100 from Morvanin.
This is the David Quirk who's involved in Danish wind, isn't it? Not the David Quirk with the solar panels in Onchan.
That's right, yeah, Dr. David Quirk. He also stated within it that the electricity price to us would drop from the 29.5p that you and I talk about to just 10.6p. The thing is, though, if you look at his paper, his assumptions have left out several crucial issues and costs. He hasn't considered multi-day or multi-week wind drought conditions. His figures are only considering a day or so. And as we all know, our electrical demand has to be met at all times, which Paul Rose has done perfectly for 23 years, by the way. He also doesn't address the handling of surplus generation from wind. So he's not mentioning that curtailment might even be an option, you know, shutting them off if we can't take it. So his assertion of reducing our electricity bills to a third of what they are now at 10.6p doesn't take into account huge costs of additional storage for multi-week wind droughts. So is that batteries, which will be 30 million plus, or if it's pumped hydro, as he's mentioned on your program recently, that will be in the hundreds of millions, especially considering that we're a small island, so economies of scale and getting everything here. And also, wind turbines don't produce inertia. And the argument going at the moment is you have to have a safe level of this sort of push through with these big turbines of at least 50% of whatever electricity you're using has to have inertia in it. So he also hasn't taken into account loan repayments, because I assume we're going to have a massive loan to buy all this stuff, because you're going to have huge batteries, you're going to have all the balancing system as well. So I hate to say it, but if you actually take all these enormous costs, I think you're going to be looking at somewhere between 90 to 140 pence a unit, not the 29.5 we're having now.
So the thing is that they've not told us, or nobody's told us, what the infrastructure cost is going to be, whether it's connecting the big pipe that's going to come in at Groudle Glen with the electricity, as you say, balancing it into the system, any resilience that needs to be built in. And again, we don't know. We're told that we need something, but again, no price, not even a ballpark figure.
It's interesting. I like that you use the word resilience, because at the moment, that inertia, the thing that keeps the system stable, Paul Rose is producing 100% of that. I mean, I don't know about you, I can't remember a full system shutdown on the island in the 23 years it's been open. I can't recall. I know they used to have them in the old diesels in the old days.
Oh, crikey. It used to be every other Sunday when the diesel was running.
Yeah, so it's been 100% reliable and 100% inertia. So what we're kind of talking about is an incredibly expensive, much more fragile network for the island.
Okay. Julian, just for the record, Julian, are you against wind turbines in principle, in practicality? Do you not like the idea of them? Would you stomach them under any circumstances?
Well, no, because I follow what happened in the past. In the 1930s, they had the same problems. All they're trying to do is they're trying to engineer their way out of it, and now they're hitting all kinds of other problems, like warranty claims now are going through the roof. As the turbines are getting bigger, you're getting warping and you're getting massive strain on the gearboxes, and they're constrained by how much money they can throw at R&D and making the thing. So it's a bit like everyone driving around now. Instead of in a nice, reliable car, they're trying to do these things like a Formula One. You know, you're in the pits every 3 minutes because the engine's blowing up or whatever.
Okay, so what sort of net zero electricity would you favour?
Well, I mean, we've had this conversation about geothermal, and people sort of just default to David Quirk, who seems to think that it's not viable. And yet we had, I think it was a Dr. Anthony Williams who came over to the island in 2018, who's the guy that works for an energy company that are doing those small nuclear reactor in the new installation in Canada.
Yeah.
And he said it was absolutely viable, and he thought 32 to 34 degrees Celsius per kilometre drilled down. So he said, you know, you get your drills down there, and you can. That's one way of doing it. So,
and there's a company that's offering to do it for free. There's a company that's offering to come and do a test drill for free.
Why wouldn't you do that, Andy? I mean, why wouldn't you do that? It seems like a no-brainer to me. It's, you know, you've got no visibility problems. You're not affecting the views like 87 Eiffel Towers are going to do. And it's, you know, the one at Lardarello in Italy has been going, I think they've been running 97 years now off the same kind of area.
Okay, all right.
So, I don't know, it's definitely worth trying.
Good to hear from you, Julian. Have a good weekend. Thanks for being with us today.
You too. Thanks, Andy.
18 minutes past 12, Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just listening there on your news bulletin that the Ben McCree's gone to Larne in in Northern Ireland. So, and last week, or early on this week, the steam packet was saying that the Arrow is coming back on to service the freight. Well, if you look at their vessel finder, AIS, and even if you go onto Google, the Arrow is still in Poland and has been there since May.
Poland?
Yes, she's in Gdansk. And she's having repairs and, you know, just general fittings.
Right.
She's there, and according to this, she's been there since the beginning of May. So why are the steam packets saying she's on her way to cover the Manxman's demise, which I know and always has been awkward getting into camel leads for any fittings, etc. You have to pick your date and hope for the best. But in the middle of the summer, going in for a planned maintenance check for a major ship that we have for the steam packet.
Well, they've not said what it is. I mean, it's not just a paint job she's gone to Camel for. And it may be, and again, everybody talks about this, what they call it, the perceived vibration. The perceived vibration. Well, there's nothing perceived about it. That rear end, the stern of the Manxman, clanks around when she gets off.
I've not been on it, I'll be honest.
Oh, no, there's a vibration. Now, there's nothing perceived about it. There's a if you sit in the cafe at the back, it'll make a milkshake out of your glass of milk for you.
Yeah, they had a similar problem with the Bananen, with the engines were a minuscule amount out of line, I believe. And once they got back cured, they were away with the, you know, it could be, you're talking only millimetres, and that would be a vibration. But we've got no ship that's doing freight this morning.
Right.
The one that would normally do the freight has gone to Larne, which is necessary because the people are here on holiday from the Northern Ireland. But our grandson was on the boat last night, and he said you could not move or breathe on that boat. It was packed solid. And he said, you couldn't get out of your seat because if you did, somebody else would dive into it.
Well, the thing, Howard, the schools are broken up now. So
exactly. Well, that was what he said.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I mean, this is on a personal note. My daughter and her family are meant to be coming over from the Files next week. And they had the email to say the boat's been cancelled. So they're now coming a day late of their holiday. Yep. Caused by the fact that the steam packet doesn't have its ducks in a row.
Exactly. And they've removed all the cabins from the Ben.
Oh, they're cabin free now on the Ben McCree. Cabin free on the Ben McCree.
And we used to always get a cabin when we were going across and coming back. And my grandson was hoping to get one going back.
Yeah.
He couldn't get one coming here. And there's an awful lot of cyclists come over for this weekend. So, you know, it's not just your normal run-of-the-mill. So they've got no freight vessel. That's away up in Poland. The Mananan's tearing up and down into Liverpool, doing their best. And all we're left with was the Ben McCree, which is steam pack. We're hell-bent on getting rid of to start with.
Well, that was interesting. Do you remember they were trying to sell it?
And they
now
were.
They've taken all the cabins away, so nobody... So if anybody suffers from seasickness and needs a cabin just to get horizontal, you have no chance to do that, other than lying down on the floor on the carpet in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. That's all you can do. So...
Well, that's what my wife said. You know, we used to always have a cabin. If it was a bit lumpy out there, at least you could be sick in private.
That's true, yes.
You know, but now that's crew accommodation. So how are we working with the unions there? Because they had an awful fight on that to start with.
Well, it's obviously a cost saving because they're now letting, you know, people are living on board, so they don't have to either put them up in hotels or what have you.
Oh, yes.
So, but that's at the expense of the customer. So the customer's been elbowed out of the cabins, so the crew can stay in the cabins. Now, I don't know what part of customer service that is.
Lack of it, I would say. Because they've been very, very quiet all about this. The fact that they're running light on ships. They've only just got the Ben out. She's been in for, a quick lick of paint and a few jobs on her. She was in Camelot not so long ago. And luckily enough, they got her off the stocks and into the water.
Can you imagine what situation we'd be in without the Ben?
Oh, well, we'd have been hungry now. They'd been fighting for bread down at Tesco. But, as I say, the steam packet have been very, very quiet on this. And as the government and the people of the island are owners of the shipping company, why is there nothing coming out of government?
Yeah.
And they're all busy worrying about who's going to sue who and, claiming that this person insulted me. They've got the major shipping line and a lifeline coming into the island, and it's fallen to pieces.
And at the moment, we still don't know who's paying to use the Liverpool link span, whether or not it's the DOI that's paying it, or whether the steam packet's paying it, or whether the steam packet will pay it in the future. We don't quite know at the moment.
No, this is why I think a lot of the ones at present MHKs are taking leave. They're going to be spending more time with their family. Otherwise, they'd have been spending more time in a family environment. It's disgusting that the steam packets are telling untruths about the Arrow. Is she in Poland, or is she sailing back to the island? And will she get here in time to bring the vital foods that we need in the middle of our summer season?
Yeah.
And when will the Manxman... They should be giving this to the people of the island who own the vessels. They haven't paid for them yet. The information that would keep things quiet, well, not quiet, to keep it more pleasant, because no information leads to misinformation.
Well, it's the Isle of Man, doesn't it? If people don't know, the skeet comes in.
Oh, yes, definitely. And, it's not long running out now because... the media system, well, it's out there in minutes. Whereas previously you had to go and get the down to the pub to get the gossip. But there was no guarantee there was any truth in that. But why are the steam packet so quiet, and why is the government so quiet? Two major players in this game and vital links from the Isle of Man to the UK return. So okay. Let's hope that somebody comes up with it this Friday, and they'll be knocking off for the rest of the summer now, so they hope it'll all just disappear.
Okay. All right, Howard, have a good weekend.
And you, take care.
Good to hear Bye. From you. Well, the situation, does anybody know where the Arrow is then? Is she in Gdansk? Is she in what used to be Danzig? Is she on her way back home? Does anybody know where the Arrow is? Ben McCree will be into Larn in about 20 minutes' time. She's supposed to be leaving at 1:30, back here at 6:15, and then Ben McCree is out to Heysham at 7:45 this evening. So obviously she's going to be loaded up with freight as the Manxman is still where she was. I listened to your show yesterday, says Tony, with a mate who's been to Jerby Prison. Not a bad life, my mate said. Even on Christmas Day, you get a turkey dinner. Well, I did ask that. Actually, when the show was finished yesterday, I was speaking to the governor and said, what happens on Christmas Day? And he said, yeah, everybody gets a Christmas dinner. Just because you're in prison, it's still Christmas. Interesting. I don't know that they get a can of lager to keep... Tony, I don't think that's true, but certainly a Christmas dinner. But interesting point. And also, I don't know whether you caught it yesterday, but the prisoners are allowed to vote. They'll be voting in the forthcoming general election. They'll be voting by post, but they are allowed to vote. So unlike in the UK, but it's interesting. Leroy Bonnick, the governor, I mean, crikey, he's been here, there and everywhere. He started at Brixton, I think, in South London. I was telling him about some of the huge prisons in the UK that he's aware of. There's one near Wolverhampton called Oakwood. 2,000 prisoners. 2,000 prisoners in there. Robert's on now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, fine, thanks. What about yourself?
I'm okay. I'm a bit grumbly.
You need an omelette.
I need an omelette, yeah, I need an omelette. I was going to come on and talk about Jim Watterson and give a load of rhetoric, but I think people had enough of that. I'm just going to ask, how are you?
Well, I couldn't be happier if I tried to be quite honest, Robert.
Okay, well, that's good. Right, I just thought I'd ask how you were.
Good. Thanks for calling today. It's good to hear from you. 28 minutes past 12. What do you think about this spat that Kate Law Brennan hasn't been censured? Tynwald voted against censuring Kate Law Brennan, the Glenn Faber and Peel MHK, over the Facebook post criticising Laurie Hooper. They had a long and at times almost tearful debate. They voted to receive the report of the Tynwald Standards and Privilege Committee, but rejected the recommendation to censure Kate Lord Brennan. It was over a Facebook post in which Kate Lord Brennan criticised Laurie Hooper, the Ramsey MHK, over his delegated decision to allow an appeal for telegraph poles to be installed in Peel, and she questioned how the rules were being interpreted by the committee.
Since I am basically a test case in this, I do want to thank everybody who's given me support, political support in here, constituents, and absolutely beyond. Because I'm telling you, the public are alive to this issue, and they're very concerned of what it means for people being able to speak up and defend their constituents, and using strong language where actually those people feel very strongly. And they see what goes on otherwise. So for the narrow lens that has been looked at here, there is thousands of people on the Isle of Man that are looking at this from the outside and going, hang on, that just does not seem right, because look at what else is out there. I'm not somebody who kicks off in a serial way online. I'm not on Twitter, right? So I'm not in that. Twitter is a vitriolic bit, but people can look on Twitter themselves and actually see some of the stuff that goes on there. So absolutely, Mrs. Bob is right. Anybody who's saying that it's really important that people think about how they treat each other, and all members should be accountable for how they interact, I agree. But that's not what's happening here, because I'm being treated differently for whatever reason. That is exactly what's happened. Now, I'm not asking this court to decide that members of Tynwald are above standards. We're not. I'm not even asking for special treatment or claiming that political office gives us, any of us, the right to bully or harass another person. It does not. I'm asking the court to consider something much more important, which is whether a new rule introduced with one purpose has now been interpreted so widely that legitimate public expression can become selective grounds for investigation and censure.
Any thoughts on this? Essentially, it's two politicians falling out, but I just wonder what you thought. So Kate Lawbrenner has said she's had a lot of support from constituents. I just wonder what you think. A note in from G on text, who just said, if the energy Laurie Hooper's put into cancelling the bishop and picking fights with political colleagues had been put into improving our lives, Mr. Hooper would deserve to be applauded. Well, he topped the poll in Ramsey last time, and he's standing again, 29 minutes before one. The Arrow has just left Gdansk, I'm reliably told. Texter 816 says, Arrow has been in Gdansk for a few days, just left Gdansk, doing five knots, destination Hesham. Crikey, how long is it going to get here doing five knots? Right, any thoughts? Texting, did you go and see Katie Hopkins last night, by the way?
Here at Q-Plus, we're not just blue, we're green. From smart boilers to heat pumps, Q-Plus supply products from the leading brands in renewable energy for a cleaner, greener home. So call into Q-Plus on Snugbrough Trading Estate, the island's largest independent plumbing and heating merchants for trade and retail. Or call 673 131 to talk to our friendly experts about the latest cost-effective products in home heating and find out what we can do for you at Q-Plus.
Direct cremation is just that, an affordable and simple cremation without all the costs associated with a funeral service. Find out more by visiting directcremation.im or phone Direct Cremations on 478 422.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
A little piece of hope provides practical and emotional support to bereaved families and seriously ill or disabled children up to 21. From funeral costs and hospital travel to equipment and mental health support, we're here when families need us. Visit alittlepieceofhope.com to donate, volunteer or get involved. Together, we can bring hope when it's needed most.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made-to-measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bondfabrics.im.
This August, one of the world's most loved musicals comes to the Gaiety Theatre. Taylorian Productions proudly presents Andrew Lloyd Webber's spectacular Cats from the 5th to the 15th of August. Experience breathtaking costumes, unforgettable music, stunning choreography and the iconic song Memory in a magical production the whole family will love. Don't miss your chance to witness the Jellicle Cats come to life. Book your tickets now at villagaiety.com or by calling 600-555.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Well, fast am I. Good afternoon. We're on till 1 o'clock today on the open line. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. And next Wednesday, the Chief Constable's on. Russ Foster, Chief Constable of the Isle of Man Constabulary, will be on Man in Line. 2 weeks today. Is it 2 weeks today? 3 weeks today. 3 weeks today? 2 weeks today. No, 2 weeks today is the 7th, and that's it. Friday the 7th is the Royal Manx Agricultural Show, and we'll be live at Nocalo doing Man in Line live in the open air, hopefully in the sunshine as well. Dewan's on now. Hi, Dewan.
Hey, I've got a spare set of boxing gloves for them down at the House of Keys if they want them, Andy. Sounds like it's getting interesting down there.
What do you think of this?
Well, and it's a bit of a spat there. I don't know whether, I mean, Kate Lawbrenner has publicly shown an interest in reformation of government, so I'm just wondering whether they don't want Kate in a position where she can do change. I don't know. But time will tell on that, I think.
We've always had spiky politicians. I mean, spiky politicians are surely good because it gets stuff done.
It does. I'm referenced there. Laurie Hooper got in by a good margin last time. I don't think he's going to get in by a good margin this time.
Well, the one thing you can... hang on a minute, by the way. If Laurie Hooper's standing in, Ramsey also standing, Juan McGuinness and Robert Cowell.
Yes.
They're all standing as well. So, talking of Laurie Hooper, I mean, he's a very honest politician and is not afraid to disagree with people. Even, you know, he won't tell people what they want to hear. He tells it how he says it.
I'll go along with that. But, you know, there's so much time wasted, as your previous text has said. There's been so much time wasted on the Liberal Bannon's approach for the bishop this year and things like that. He hasn't done himself any favours, nor has he done Liberal Bannon any favours with that. You know, there's bigger fish to fry than messing around with that. And a lot of time has been wasted on these type of things. But anyway, did you go to Katie Hopkins last night, Andy?
Sadly, no, I didn't.
You didn't. I think the governor sold his tickets. Their seats were full. I believe Katie went up to Government House, though, and spoke to him, ex-military and all that. So she went up and had a chat with him.
Were you there?
I was, yeah. Yeah, good show. Polished show. I'm sure someone's going to come on and say about polishing something soon. But it was a good show. Warm-up artist was absolutely fantastic. Everyone was laughing with her. So a good artist, a lot of comedy, a lot of laughing. What more could you ask for?
Who was the bucket collection for at the end?
The bucket collection at the end. Let me get back to you on that one, Andy.
She normally has a bucket collection, doesn't she?
Very surprised that she didn't sell any merch last night, because normally the shows these days rely on merch, but there was no merchandise getting sold last night. But a good show was had by all. No trouble. No trouble whatsoever.
The Bard didn't show up outside, did he?
The Bard didn't show up outside. I think he's working on some poetry for his sellout show.
What was the upshot? What was the thrust of the show? What was it about?
I think Katie's format is she does wherever she goes is like the first bit is local, so she gathers local information and does local. Russell Brand does the same with his show. Does the local stuff, and then she goes into her national politics and laughing at what's going on, laughing at the madness of the world at the moment, Andy. And I think that's it. Everyone gets it because they know exactly what she's talking about. You know, it's just laughing at the madness of the bureaucracy of what's going on, and you know, everyone's aligned. Everyone that sat in there was aligned, and I don't think Bonzo was there though. I don't think so. You can ask him when he comes on. Just on your program from the prison,
right?
Leroy Bonnag, isn't it? Is the I was just reading up on him last week on the places that he's been and stuff. Yeah, it's quite easily findable on the net. But I'm just wondering, Andy, did you get any insight as to the high turnover of staff coming in and out of there?
It won't surprise you to know that when we did the programme there yesterday, there have been all sorts of meetings before the programme, and certainly for engineering-wise, because you can't take in the equipment we have into a prison without it being, you know, checked and everything to make sure you're not texting somebody or what have you. I talked about that. We talked about how there is a turnover of staff there. There are issues with staff there, but they were quite open about it. But we didn't get to that yesterday. We just talked about recruiting staff and, you know, what you do there. Why is that?
Yeah, and I'm sure that, you know, they chose wisely of who was going to be interviewed. But I do hear that there's a quite a big turnover of staff there, and I'm just wondering what the emphasis or what the reason for that was. And
well, I think also, they've got is it about between 40 and 50 people work at the prison?
Yes, I believe so. And also, how often does the minister and the CEO visit the prison? Because I'm hearing that they don't see a lot of the minister visiting down there. The
minister will be Kate Lord-Brennan, yeah?
Minister is Jane Poole Wilson.
Oh, sorry, yes, I beg your pardon. Sorry, I'm looking at another piece of paper. Jane Poole Wilson. Well, I don't know. How would you feel if the minister turned up all the time to the prison?
Well, it's not so much all the time, though, Andy. But I mean, if it's an important part of what she does, you know, the future of prisoners and you know their well being and what they're doing to make them come out and rejoin society.
Mm.
So you'd think maybe that you know a little bit of walk around and a bit of time down there every so often, but I'm hearing not a lot.
I've heard. I mean, I think in one of the meetings they did mention that the chief exec, Dan Davis, had been around. And obviously, and again, you got the feeling yesterday, the prison and probation service needs more money. The fact is, and we'll talk about this next week with the Chief Constable, because of Operation, what was it, Nightjar, they filled the prison up. It's full. I think when Leroy Bonnick started, there were 65 people in. There's 140 in now. So they need a bigger prison. There's no two ways about it.
And I think the last time I was talking to Russ Foster on your show, you know, they're putting prisoners in here now, which are UK prisoners. They come from the UK, they live in the UK, and we're paying for that. I mean, it's a big cost per day to keep prisoners here. So,
well, the thing is, they committed their offence on Manx soil.
They did, but also I think there's also you know, getting the numbers up to make the thing look good as well. We've got so many collars over here. It would be better to send them back. It's costing us a fortune.
Yeah, I mean, it's all very well saying sending them back. It may be that the UK doesn't want them. Maybe they haven't got space.
Well, they don't, do they? I mean, they haven't got space. That's another conversation.
Well, the thing is, Jim, there's no votes in prisons. There's no votes in the probation service or the prison service. And you'll see this in the UK. We'll talk about, you know, tough on crime, tough on the causes of crime. But there's no votes in building bigger prisons. And yet people in the UK often say, you know, we need to put more people away. But you can't do it if you haven't got the space.
And I think, again, it's another overhaul situation here, because this starts off with our children and children in care and the society underneath this, which is where this starts off. And I think the whole thing needs a complete revamp. You know, there's people invested in childcare over here that kind of know where the problems lie.
And that's exactly it. We had a fascinating conversation about this when we came off air yesterday, about the fact is it is cheaper for society that everybody is on the right side of the criminal law. You know, people get better lives, families aren't impacted. You know, the moment somebody goes into prison, the family gets impacted, the children, the parents, the relatives, husbands and wives and everybody, and it disturbs lots and lots of lives. So it's better for society, and it's better for, bluntly, for public funds if people stay out of jail and out of the criminal justice system. But as you say, starting that with young people, well, that's another ball game. And again, there's no votes in that, but it does cost money.
Yeah, and definitely it's a wider conversation to be had on that one, Andy, for sure. Maybe sometime you can get childcare in and have a bigger conversation on that. Just on a separate note there, I noticed through the keys the other day that I think Julie Edge put a proposal in, but it was knocked back on shorter time periods for getting social housing for people coming in, not asylum seekers per se, but immigrants coming into the island. And I'm just wondering, now that's being put through, and shorter time allowances for people coming, where's that actually leaving our own people? We've had David Ashford on here numerous times talking about a housing crisis. Is that not going to make it worse? That people now don't have to be here for half as long to get themselves on the housing list?
Well, 5 years ago, I remember talking to every candidate, and they were all kind of talking about housing and how important it was, and what's happened in the past 5 years. I mean, the only people that have built lots of houses are Dandara and the other private companies, you know. Until we build more houses, we're going to have the same problem. It's like trying to get a quart into a pint pot.
And affordable housing at that, Andy. You see, I mean, people come on and they talk about the price of rents and private landlords, etc. But you look at these houses down at Ballasalla, for example. I mean, they're what, 300,000?
Yeah.
So for an average investor to buy one of them and just rent it out, you know, to get a 5% income on that, where does that leave you with rent? and people are complaining about that. So the price of houses is just it's very, very high for people getting on the ladder. So, you know, somewhere along the line, government have to somewhere intervene with affordable housing for people, which, like we said, we talked about this in the show many times. And, you know, we talk about crisis, but nothing's being done. To me, if it's a crisis, then we should be doing something. Grab a brownfield site. Yeah. Let's get some emergency housing on there. Get these people housed.
Well, it's amazing, isn't it? How quickly, if you look now, if you go to Tesco at Lake Road in by the harbour in Douglas, you'll see how quickly Dandara are putting those flats up now. You know, they're not stopping to breathe. Those flats are nearly built. They're not fitted out, but they're nearly built. Whereas, how long did it take for the nurses' home? It was years.
And there and that's another bigger conversation. Yeah. The cost of that. Yeah. I mean, they're not, you know, but what was it? 1,950. I think that one has just been advertised for rent. Who can afford that? And you know, actually, who is actually in there? That's the bigger question.
And the coffee shop's not open either.
The coffee shop's not open. I remember Laurie Hooper at the meeting when we spoke with Manx Development, saying that these were going to be for key workers. And people at the hospital. But the question then had to be asked is, well, you know, they're not putting parking spaces in here. They want it to be car-friendly, not car-friendly per se. But then people, how did they get to the hospital to work if you're going to put hospital workers in there?
So they can jog.
The question is, you jog, yes. Not exactly the 20-minute city initiative there.
We've got to go, Jim.
Interesting.
Thanks.
Cheers, Andy.
Have a good weekend. Good to hear you.
You can't put a price on keeping safe, but rest assured, you'll be happy, roadworthy, and safe for a fair price at Quayside Tyre and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate, where trained technicians go above and beyond to give you the best customer experience. With any service, they'll provide you with a video of any defects that need attention and will only carry out the work if you're happy. For a comprehensive range of services and more information, call 66 4417 or visit online. Quayside.
So, Duan, you finally took my advice and went for Spectrum Windows for your home improvements.
Well, with their quality and price, I couldn't refuse. Along with great service from planning to completion, you get all the latest innovations in roofing and glazing.
Oh, Duan, don't tell the missus that yours are better than ours.
Oh, don't worry, Geoffrey. Yours still look as good as new. They're still A-rated and they're guaranteed for 10 years.
Visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
Now is your chance to recognise inspirational individuals and groups making a real difference on the Isle of Man with the Heroes of Man Awards, brought to you by a Little Piece of Hope charity. From quiet acts of kindness to outstanding community work, nominate your hero or heroes at alittlepieceofhope.com/nominations. That's alittlepieceofhope.com/nominations. Nominations close Sunday the 30th of August with the awards ceremony late January 2027. Details coming soon. This advert has been kindly supported by Cayman National Bank in the Isle of Man, rewarding relationships built on trust and your nation's station, Manx Radio.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Philshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view philshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
The 2026 Commonwealth Games are underway in Glasgow and Manx Radio is bringing you all the action from the Scottish city. We'll be bringing you daily coverage of Team Isle of Man's mission to shine on the global stage. Each day, we'll be bringing you our daily live Commonwealth Games blog on the Manx Radio website, giving you minute-by-minute updates on our Manx competitors, as well as news, interviews and more via the Manx Radio Sport Facebook page. So if you're following Team Isle of Man in Glasgow, make sure to check out all the latest at manxradio.com and follow Manx Radio and Manx Radio Sport on social media.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Thank you, Matty. International gas and oil prices are rising again, yet the boomers over here are trying to stop us diversifying into wind because it blocks a tiny bit of sky and sea views. Food prices are rising because of changing climate patterns as well. And Fran noted today we can talk about the, can we talk about the obscene situation with Isle of Man Post? I had an appointment letter yesterday sent by Manx Care on the 9th of July for the 16th of July. It arrived on the 23rd of July. No wonder Manx Care has got lots of missed appointments at great financial cost to the taxpayer. How this situation is allowed to continue is shameful. It needs sorting right now. Well, it costs a fortune, doesn't it, if there's do not attends. Big John Says, I was at Laxey Prom on Tuesday and the BBC were interviewing members of the public for their views on the proposed wind farm off Laxey. Well, it's not just off Laxey, John. It's off Onchan, Laxey, Lonnon, Baldrine, Bulgan Bay, Port Lewag, Portmore. I listened to one chap who was in favour of the proposed wind farm. He was brilliant explaining why it should go ahead. One reason was, he gave, that the Isle of Man contribution to lowering our carbon footprint is only small. But collectively with other countries, it'll make a difference. How right he was, says John. Hope it's put on air by the BBC. You better ask him. Roy says, anybody at all mentioned the loss in property value for houses looking out to sea on the east? The turbines will undoubtedly have a massive impact on this. While this may not seem important, it will be affected through no fault of their own. It's going to be very sad for them. And the steam packets told commercial customers, says Texter 109, that the Manxman has issues to do with engines and the silt in Douglas Harbour. Could take 12 weeks to repair. We'll find out from the steam packet. And apparently the arrow's on her way. And David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. I apologise for yesterday. I took a trip with people out to Bride, and we went to Bride Tea Rooms. What a wonderful experience we had. And we were bang on. They don't open until 12 for lunch. So I didn't listen to the man yesterday. So I will do it over the weekend and comment next week.
Okay.
But I was going to comment regarding the smart meters. What's happening with Manx Utilities if they're refunding people on smart meters but not telling anybody else? Oh, we should be checking this, our smart meters and our bills. That's the issue I've got.
Right.
I don't know where the Manx Radio news team has been chasing it.
Have you got a smart meter?
I have. We have two. We've got one at the clubhouse and one at my own home here, which I've got. My batteries are full, if anybody's interested, regarding the power.
Well,
anyway.
Even in this cloudy weather, what are you generating?
Oh, I knew you were going to say that, and I've just flipped the iPad somewhere else. I've got, doing about nearly 2 kilowatts, and the battery's 80% full.
Okay, and that's with full cloud cover.
Well, it's not cloudy. You don't need the sun. It's the light. Do you know what I mean? I'm no expert on it. I'm not like the guy from who's the professor from somewhere foreign anyway. But we need to get... Andy, we need to find out, what are we going to do? If we're not going to do something, if we're not going to have wind turbines, even on the island, I'm in favour of them being on the island, no matter what. Okay, I'm sorry for the people who live down south, but... we'll have to do something, won't we? We just can't put our head in the sand and say, our bills are not going to go up. They definitely are. And what are we going to do?
Right.
That's the issue. Whether we have PV panels, you know, what's the DEFA and the DEFA minister actually giving us with these new green living grants, you know? Nothing.
Would you supportive of wind turbines if they were at the Clipse? Would that be okay with you?
And the Clipse Reservoir.
Yeah, just by Onchan.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen there. There was a thing to happen further up in the Windy Corner.
Yeah.
Do you remember that was donkeys years ago?
Yeah.
One of the things to do was Russian Mines was definitely one of them. To have a turbine, and that was only one turbine, and the other one was Windy Corner, because if you've ever been, and we went over the mountain yesterday, that wind in the afternoon was terrible, and the first time I've ever seen a bus, a double-decker bus, actually travelling on the mountain, never seen that before, and I don't know what it did, because it stopped at the cafe at Snaefell there,
right.
At the bottom. Maybe they had a load of kids on because they were breaking up, weren't they?
Yeah, they were yesterday. So tell me, you know, with your smart meter, do you have it linked up to your smart device? Are you plumbed into that?
Yeah. But the difficulty I've got is, not the one at home, the one at the clubhouse for the football club, is reading it, is assessing it. But maybe that's my fault for not getting... the technical leaflet on it to say what it can actually do. And the beautiful thing you can do, because I did it the other day there, I rang up their Manx Utilities and asked them for a reading. And they give it to me within seconds. They can hook you it straight away and tell you how much you've produced electricity and how much you've gone back to the green grid or whatever, onto the system.
All right. Have a good weekend.
She wouldn't admit it. 9p.
Right. Thank you. Cheers now. Have a good weekend. Here's Bill with us now. Hi, Bill.
Hello there.
What's on your mind, Bill?
Hey, I've been reading on Facebook. There's been over charges on Max Utility electricity, and I'm amazed that the company has not made an official announcement. It seems to cover people for £50, £100, £150, £200, significant sums of money, and I can't understand why someone hasn't posted a news posting to explain how this has happened. And I'm not even sure if it's only smart meters. Is it all meters? Is it localised to certain areas? Is it, you know, what's going on?
Do you monitor your usage, Bill?
I do monitor my usage, but I don't have a smart meter. I have an ordinary meter, and I'm in favour of having a smart meter because I like to go with the, you know, technology.
Yeah.
But this is undermining the confidence I have in smart meters. I mean, it's incredible. I can't believe that there's currencies where there's significant amounts of money having to be refunded to people.
I'll tell you,
because there's been mistakes.
As we speak, Bill, the Max Radio news team are swinging into action with this, and we'll get a report on this later on today, so we'll find out more about it.
Right, well, that's what I want. I don't want it going by the by, because I realise Tynwald's closed for the summer recess, and we might never get an answer.
Have a good weekend. Thanks for calling, Bill.
Thanks.
4 minutes before one, that's it. Thanks for dropping by this lunchtime. Thanks for contributing. Remember, we can't normally get to all the messages that you send in, but they all read, and we do take notice of it. If you want to get in touch out of hours, email maninline@manxradio.com. Call the answer phone on 682-631, and that's it. Thanks to Michelle on the phones today. The Arrow's still doing 5 knots, by the way. Have a fantastic weekend, whatever you're up to.
WINT